There are signs that oil prices might be leveling off. The American Petroleum Institute said yesterday that supplies of crude oil have not been significantly disrupted by this month's political turbulence in Venezuela. And Saudi Arabia announced on Monday that it will work with OPEC to make up for shortages caused by Iraq's cutoff of oil exports. President Bush warned this month that rising energy bills could threaten the nation's economic recovery. Still, the U.S. is a little less dependent on petroleum than it once was, NPR's Scott Horsley reports.
Since the oil shocks of the 1970s, the U.S. economy has more than doubled, but our consumption of oil has grown much less quickly. It now takes almost 60% less oil to generate a dollar of economic activity than it did in 1973. Joseph Rome, who runs the Center for Energy and Climate Solutions, says much of our economic growth in the last few decades has come from industries that don't use a lot of energy.
To the extent that we are getting economic growth from Microsoft and Intel, these are obviously not companies that use a lot of oil compared to petroleum, refining, and chemicals and the like.
What's more, some industries that used to use a lot of oil have switched to alternative fuels. Natural gas, for example, is increasingly popular with the nation's electricity generators. Only 3% of electricity is now made by burning oil. Oil is still the lifeblood and the Achilles heel of other industries, though, especially the economy's moving parts. Rome, who's a former acting assistant secretary of energy, says chances are anything that's flown, trucked, or travels by rail uses oil to get where it's going.
Clearly, it is the U.S. transportation sector that is wholly reliant on oil. And if you want to make the economy more resistant to threats of oil embargo and price spikes, then you've got to make the transportation sector more efficient.
Attention in the boarding area. United Express Skyways Flight 620, 4 o'clock scheduled departure to Los Angeles, now boarding at Gate 3.
Airlines, for example, will use about 17 billion gallons of oil-based jet fuel this year. The price has jumped 40% since December. Chief economist David Swieringa of the Air Transport Association says that's adding insult to an industry that's thought to have lost more than $2 billion in the first quarter alone.
It's unlikely that carriers will want to or even be able to pass on these added costs in the form of higher airfares just because we are struggling to get our customers back.
Airlines might be losing even more money, though, had they not invested in energy-saving planes. Newer two-engine jets burn far less fuel than older models. Swieringa says when flights were cut after September 11th, airlines kept their most efficient planes flying and parked the gas guzzlers.
The average airplane in the fleet today gets 38 passenger miles to the gallon. That compares pretty favorably, you know, with the most fuel-efficient automobiles.
In fact, private automobiles use 40% of the nation's oil, and they're one segment of the economy that's grown more susceptible to a jump in the price. According to the EPA, the average new car sold last year got just 20.4 miles to the gallon, the lowest level in 21 years. More than one in five new cars sold was a sports utility vehicle, with an average fuel economy of about 17 miles per gallon. Last month, the Senate rejected a measure that would have imposed strict new efficiency standards on SUVs. Daniel Yergin is chairman of Cambridge Energy Research Associates and author of The Prize, A History of Oil. He says even though some industrial sectors are now more insulated from oil price shocks, the overall economy is far from immune.
It's still a very important price to the economy. It's also a very important price psychologically, because the price of gasoline is maybe the most visible price in America. It's the price that everybody sees as they drive to work every morning.
Steps taken by airlines and others to improve efficiency point the way for those who want to reduce dependence on imported oil. But Yergin says it's premature to count oil out.
We've been running out of oil since the 1880s, when one of the founders of Standard Oil started selling his stock off because he was convinced that there would be no oil found outside Pennsylvania, which was the Saudi Arabia of its day and was the number one source of oil for the world. World oil reserves have actually doubled since the 1970s. And until something else really comes front and center, the world will continue to move around on oil.
Forecasters say the price of that oil is likely to remain volatile in the near term. And while the danger of a 1970s-style shock has diminished, Americans, especially motorists, will be watching. Scott Horsley, NPR News.